All right, we'll call the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 1:37 p.m. Tuesday, March 30th. Present today, we got Vice Chair Schauer, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Myers, Chair. That gives us a quorum to conduct business. Staff in the committee today, we have Nancy Hemingway from Senate Records and Marissa as our moderator, and of course, Michaela Anderson, my committee aide, since she follows me everywhere. Quick reminder, of course, please silence your cell phones if you have one. And today we are doing public testimony on Senate Bill 70. We have public testimony on Senate Bill 103, the Alaska Marine Highway System Operating and Planning Board. And then after that, we'll move on to public testimony for Senate Bill 105 on road service area consolidation. So with that, we will open public testimony on Senate Bill 103. And do we have anybody in the room wanting to testify? That being no, we will move to online. I've got two people listed to testify for this bill right now. And if you could please state your name and affiliation for the record. We'll go ahead and start with Shannon Adamson.
Hello, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Shannon Adamson. I am the Alaska Regional Representative for Masters, Mates, and Pilots. We represent the licensed deck officers with the Marine Highway System. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on Senate Bill 103 regarding the repeal of the Alaska Marine Transportation Advisory Board and establishing the Alaska Marine Highway System Operation and Planning Board. We applaud the governor on his effort to create positive change for AMHS. However, we believe this bill falls short in a couple of areas. In SB 103, the AMHS Operations and Planning Board lacks diversity, as all board positions are appointed by the governor. As has been shown in the past, each political cycle has created a different plan for AMHS. To limit this in the future, the board should be appointed by more than just one political entity. For example, appointees could also be put forward from the legislative branch as well. We believe this will help level the political playing field and isolate AMHS from some political infighting. Creating diversity on the board is a necessity that must be addressed. SB 103 also falls short on giving the new Operations and Planning Board enough power to create real change. Having sat on the Marine Transportation Advisory Board as the union representative for the last 6 years, I can tell you change is sorely needed. The current board makes recommendations that are routinely ignored by DOT. Creating language that requires the Department of Transportation to incorporate the new board's long and short-term plans would help the board work with the existing management to create better solutions. While SB 103 would be a step in the right direction, we believe House Bill 63 takes it even further and affects more positive change. The governor's bill as proposed is a good start, but improvements are needed. We would encourage this committee to look to HB 63 for ideas for amendments that would help this board better serve AMHS in our communities. Thank you for your time and consideration and the opportunity to testify.
Can I ask you a question?
Ms. Adamson, would you be available for a question?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Shannon, just very briefly because of time, we discussed previously on this with the deputy commissioner, and you may or may not have listened to that testimony last week about is it time to take a different direction, and, you know, sort of what you're talking about with not having DOT essentially be in charge of how the direction the AMHS goes and something else. Is one of the things we mentioned was perhaps it's time to go to for almost like ASME or another portion of how the state runs a system, as opposed to having this in one of four kind of big areas of DOT. Would you advocate for that type of a change, or do you think that's too much? I'm just kind of curious where you think your group would sit on that.
Through the chair, I want to make sure I understand what your question is, Senator. Are you asking if my organization would support AMHS being pulled out of DOT completely and put into its own separate governance structure? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Essentially, Shannon, I don't want to get wrapped too far in the weeds here. I'm curious because you're talking from an experience perspective of what you've seen, and you mentioned that, you know, with all the great recommendations, DOT often just ignores them, and we don't really affect the positive change. So one way to do that, which we discussed, was pulling it out, like you said, and creating a new entity. Would you support a move like that?
The short answer to your question, Senator, is yes, we would. I think one of the largest issues that AMHS currently has is lack of planning and lack of management structure. So I think any sort of change that would pull it away from the political structure and separate it to a certain extent from DOT would be positive, yes.
Thank you very much, Ms. Adamson. Moving on then, we'll go to Mr. Ben Goldrich. If you could again state your name for the record and provide your testimony. Mr. Goldrich?
My apologies. I double muted myself. My name is Ben Goldrich. I'm the Alaska representative for the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association. We represent the licensed engineers on the Marine Highway. My comments largely parallel my friend Shannon Adamson here. We appreciate the governor and the state's efforts with SB 103, but we do believe that encompassing a larger group on the board would be larger, would bring in broader perspectives and perhaps make the Marine Highway less of a battleground, so to speak, in future years. HB 63, we believe, has some components in it that we would like to see pulled into SB 103, and Shannon covered those areas as well, the diversity and giving the board some teeth. And while I have not been on the MTAB board, I've certainly participated and watched the overwhelming majority of those meetings. I do think it's time that DOT brings in the expertise of these boards, of this board in particular, to the Marine Highway System. Thank you.
Mr. Goodrich, wonder if you would answer the same question as Ms. Adamson. Be curious to see your position on pulling the Marine Highway System out of DOT and giving its own separate governance structure.
So I'm kind of an old guy now. I've been around the system for a lot of years, and I do believe our organization would support a move like that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Seeing nobody else online, nobody else in the room, we will close public testimony on SB 103. So moving on then, we'll be opening up public testimony on SB 105 on road service area consolidation. Anybody in the room testifying? Nope. Okay, so moving online, I got a number of people setting up here. So for SB 105, if you everybody could please state your name and affiliation for the record, and then if you could please start off with your testimony if you are for or against this bill, and Then please try to keep things brief. We do have, looks like, about 11 people online already. And I don't want to impose a formal time limit if I have to, but, well, we will if we get to that point a little later on. So we're going to go ahead and start with Ms. Valerie Amaryllis. If you could please, again, state your name for the record and if you're for or against the bill and provide your testimony. Thank you.
My name is Valerie Amaryllis. I am the chair for the McGrath Road Service District in Fairbanks, and I am opposed to SB 105. SB 105 does not involve the service area residents and taxpayers. Only a selected chairs received Senator Meyer's letter back in February, so not everybody was informed. The scope of the bill changed when the word contiguous was removed from the original information that some chairs received. How will the unique maintenance levels and maintenance issues be addressed? We've got flat roads, we've got hillside roads. How is that going to be addressed? The service areas contribute, 90% of the rural services annual budget. We pay for basically rural services being in existence. Very little general fund money is used. And what are the plans for equitable consolidation? There's no two service areas share the same mileage, nor do they share the same mill rate, tax cap, assessed value, or the number of commissioners. We are all commissioners. It is the residents of the service area who take the initiative to fill out the form requesting to be a commissioner. It is then approved by the borough, mayor, and assembly. So if a resident doesn't take the first step to fill out the form, neither the mayor or the assembly have no one to nominate or confirm. And we are not board members. We are commissioners. I believe a larger service areas will mean lengthier response time to residents. I believe the larger service area concept will force small contractors out of business. What are the savings that the Fairbanks Borough wishes to achieve? Nothing's been discussed there. There's been no plan given on how the borough plans to implement the changes. And it stated in your letter, Senator Myers, on March 24th, each second-class borough in the state is unique. My bottom line, since we are the only borough to be impacted by this bill and the current status quo is working, please don't mess with success. If our mayor and assembly wish to consolidate, it is then they who should contact the existing chairs to discuss the available options and leave it up to the voting residents to decide. After all, it is their tax dollars. And I just believe moving SB 105 forward is just a waste of legislative time and resources. Thank you for allowing me to testify. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Amaryllis. We're going to go ahead and move to Charles Lamke. Again, if you could state your name for the record and say if you're for or against the bill and provide your testimony.
Yes, my name is Charles Lamke, and I'm the chair road commissioner up in University Heights subdivision in Fairbanks. And I have questions. I like the concept of the nature of the bill of giving more authority and that to the particular road service areas. I'm just wondering what some of the motivation is. I know a consolidation would certainly or could certainly reduce expenses. I don't know how, but I would like to hear what the plan is. If we're reducing expenses, Matt, what are we, are we losing anything in service? I'm concerned about, you know, are we talking about consolidating funds and reserves? Our road service area, we've been very responsible, very frugal. We maintain our roads particularly well, and the homeowners are very pleased with that. They don't mind paying because they're getting something for it. And I'm not certain, you know, if there's something coming up from the borough that would increase expenses or would dilute savings and that we have. I want to have some of those things answered. I'm in favor of the proposition here of letting the people in each rural service area vote on this. So if there's any more information forthcoming, either from the borough or from this committee, I'd love to hear it.
Thank you, Mr. Lamke. Next, we'll be moving on to Candy Rydlinski, I believe. If you could state your name and your support or opposition and provide your testimony, please.
Yes, I'm Candy Rydlinski, and I'm the commissioner for the Kris Kringle subdivision in North Pole, Alaska. And our community is actually opposed to this for the same reasons that Valerie Amaryllis and Charles Lamke have already stated. And just to keep it short, the needs of our subdivision, I think, are unique. We're a paved road. We don't know any of the details of what would entail as far as our tax money, the service that we're going to get, Snow removals, would they be just as timely? And would our road cracks be filled in? Would our taxes go up? I mean, we just have a lot of questions about everything. And right now our residents are happy, and we just don't see a reason for the consolidation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rudlinski. Next, we'll be moving on to George Rudlinski.
Thank you. George Rudlinski, of also the Kris Kringle subdivision, but I'm not a commissioner. I'm just a concerned citizen. And I happened to get this notification via my wife. And I just have questions, too many questions, and no answers. So I'd like a little bit more information on it, if possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rudlinski. Okay, next we're going to move to, looks like Michael Bradley.
Michael Bradley here. Yes, good afternoon. This is Michael Bradley of 229 Eagle Ridge Road of McGrath Estates, and I am a road commissioner along with Valerie Almaraz. And I oppose this Senate Bill 105 vehemently in its current form. I can understand the spirit of it and the effort of efficiencies, but it's not very well written, no real good plan. And I feel like it's a step of big government taking our funds from our neighbors and our road service area and redistributing them to those that are less fortunate to have so much savings. You know, we could ride out a bad snow year or two and still be in the green, and there's other road service areas that are operating right there in the red. And I understand they need help. And there's certain road service areas that are struggling for commissions, but we do have a full commission in McGrath Road area. It's functioning, it's well and healthy. We service our neighbors. Well, just within the past couple of weeks, the ones I know about, there's been at least 4 or 5 mailbox calls that we've responded to personally as volunteers to deal with the snow or the damage of the mailboxes. I don't think we would get that same service to our neighborhood if we were to consolidate. Just my druthers. And it feels like we might be stepping over $100 bills here to pick up nickels. I'm not sure if there is a lot of savings in combining these. It might be more efficient for the contractor, but oftentimes road commissioners get together with neighboring commissioners and order same services or similar services, possibly, from the contractor to save on some transport times of machinery. So there are some efficiencies in it. Just as a volunteer, I oppose it. I mean, if we were going to consolidate, you know, I guess think about it in the big picture, why this was created in the first place, and if we're going to consolidate, why wouldn't the borough just take over all road commissions and just provide service to all areas of the state? All areas in the borough, and just be big government and take over it all, then we'd have some serious inefficiencies. I think now it's working. People take it for granted. Oftentimes they don't even know who does the road. They think it's the borough anyway. They don't understand that it's volunteers. And it's taken for granted because it's done well most of the time, and there are those few problem areas, and maybe those should be addressed independently. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. Next, we're going to move to Dan LaBrosse.
Yeah. My name is Dan LaBrosse, and I've been a road service commissioner here at Polar Heights for 20 years now. And I was instrumental in getting Polar Heights service area to annex our little neighborhood in. Prior to that, I remember our roads were a terrible mess. We weren't getting any service. In fact, we organized our neighborhood to get together 1 year. And just everybody with equipment got out, and we got access to a straight state gravel pit, and the whole neighborhood pitched in, and it was a whole weekend worth of work. And we got our roads so they were at least passable, because I can remember pulling out of my driveway and sinking right into the mud, and that was it. So I come from the time before we had a service area. and I convinced the people to agree to increase their taxes to get a service area, and now our roads are in tip-top shape. I remain as the president of our commission, and I'm boots on the ground. I walk the road. I go and check it. We only have 2.6 miles, so we're a small little area. I'm certain if we consolidated, we would not get anywhere near the service or the oversight that me and the other two commissioners provide for our small area. So I vehemently oppose this consolidation. We're volunteers here. We were out filling potholes and we couldn't get our contractor to come out here. We do coordinate the contracting services with the next service area over, so the contractor does only come out to one our area and this whole area once, and snow plowing and everything gets coordinated. So we're fairly efficient. And the fact that we're using volunteers all the time, I don't see how that's going to get replaced. If you go into a consolidation mode, there's nobody going to be out here checking our roads. We're not going to have anybody we can go to. Right now, I have neighbors calling me when culverts are clogged. I can get a contractor out there in a day, get it unclogged. I can deal with problems that pop up a lot on Alaskan roads. Breakup time of year is really rough on them. And we're here. We're in the neighborhood. People know who we are. They got my number. I get calls quite often, and I know what to do. I've been doing this for a while. So I would really not like to see this bill go through. I don't see any benefit. It may be some cost savings from the administration standpoint, but from the people that are paying the taxes in these neighborhoods, I know in our neighborhood, I don't think anybody would support that. They would feel like their money is gone someplace else all of a sudden. That's just my two cents on it. And I'll work with whatever comes up, but I don't support this consolidation. We've worked really hard to make our service area top-notch and our roads top-notch, and we take pride in that. And I don't see us getting that kind of a deal if it got consolidated. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. LaBrosse. Next, we're going to move to Kristen Cash. What's that? She dropped off? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, never mind that. All right. That looks like most of our public testimony. We've got brief eddies for a second here. All righty, back on the record. Okay, one more public testifier. We have Christine Robbins. If you could please state your name for the record and your support or opposition to the bill, and then your testimony. Thank you.
Hi, Christine Robbins from Fairbanks. And I just want to say I'm against SB 105. So just a few complaints, considerations. So there is like 103 service areas, and not one has the same mileage or the mill rate, tax cap, or assessed value. So to me, it really needs to be rethought, reworked, and really put to a vote of the people, because if it was up to us, we certainly wouldn't approve of it. And that's why I just think you should hold off and you know, let more people learn about it and voice their opinions, because probably as you see by the testimony, there's really not that much knowledge of it out there right now. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Robbins. Okay. So next up, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go to April Tricky. And I believe you're the borough clerk. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I was unmuting.
It's all right. Ms. Tricky, I believe you are the borough clerk, is that correct?
Yes, I am Chairman Meyer, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today to you and to also the Senate Transportation Committee. So as you stated, I am the borough clerk for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and I am responsible for administering the borough municipal elections that we hold in October and also all service area elections that are held either in the month of March or November. I'd like to note that myself and my staff, we are neutral on the merits of the Senate bill that's before you. So I was asked to provide some testimony on service area elections, so I'm just going to give you a brief overview of them and how many has been conducted over the past few years, and we'll be happy to answer any questions once I'm done. So over the past 5 years, from 2016 to 2020, we have conducted 51 service area elections. This is in comparison, as it is, as was mentioned, my understanding, to the Matt Sue Borough, who does do service area elections during their municipal election. They've held two in the past 5 years. The borough code requires that service area elections be conducted using the procedures for our absentee in person, by mail, and by electronic transmission. So that's how we conduct our service area elections. We have some challenges with our service area elections, and our biggest challenge is that we are not able to request a voter registration list for a road service area from the Division of Elections. Several years back, we did work with the Region 3 office here in Fairbanks, and we were able to add our five fire service areas as a minor within the district fields of the State of Alaska Voter Registration Electronic Records Management System. When we spoke to them about adding minors for our road service areas, which it's been stated there's 103 of them, plus we have two utilities, that's 105 additional minors, the Region 3 office was not supportive of doing that, as it's very time-consuming, very huge task, and also maintaining all of those. So when discussing if so I just also say that without this precinct register that we get, the Canvas Board, which is our review board that I hire, is required to do two things. They kind of have a two-step process. So when every absentee envelope comes through our office, they're looking at two things. One, they're looking at, are they a registered voter within the Fairbanks North Star Borough? So they're first determining, are they registered to vote? They're using the list that we get from the State of Alaska. The second list that they're using is a list that's generated from our rower system, GIS system, that's provided to us that provides all the residents' addresses within that service area boundary or annexation area. So then if they're a registered voter, the next step is the Canvas Board goes and they look at that list that we generate from the borough to see whether or not the residents' address that they are registered at is within that service area election for their vote to be counted within that service area election. So it is a complex system by the way we have to do it because we don't have a precinct register from the state. It was also my understanding that there was questions about, well, why don't you conduct service area elections during your municipal election? I was not the borough clerk when it was decided when service area elections were to be conducted, but I can tell you what my challenges would be today if I had to do that. One, again, service area boundaries do not align with precinct boundaries. Service area boundaries can and do cross more than one precinct boundary. For example, we had a 23-mile SLU service area election last November. It crossed three precincts, Salcher, Moose Creek, and Eielson. Also, there are more than one service area within a precinct boundary. I could use my own precinct as an example. Even though I do not live in a road service area, there are those that are around me. So I'm aware of that. So it's been mentioned, one thing is because of this and the complexity, I would have to actually hire an additional election officials on the day of the election to actually conduct these service area elections at the same time where their precincts are. And we could have multiple elections there. So it's going to, it would drive the cost of these service area elections up. just because of the complexity of a service area. There's a lot of guidance that my office provides to the voters during a service area election. Many times people are even confused whether or not they are in the existing or the annexation area, because sometimes people own property in both. So what ballot do they request? Where are they registered? There's lots of issues that arise during a service area election that we help those voters through. So that's something that we would have to train those boards to do, which would drive that cost. I think that I've kind of covered everything that I was asked to cover, but I am definitely here to provide. I have more information if you would like it, and I'm willing to answer any of your questions.
Yeah, we've got a question from Senator Schar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, April. So I have talked to the borough once before on a bill I'm sponsoring. I'll talk to them again soon, I'm sure, but I believe in local control. So if this is what Fairbanks wants, you know, so be it. It's not for the state to decide. But a couple questions. And I was telling Chairman Meyer, I have a call into the Mat-Su Borough, because that's what I represent, or a large portion of it, to figure out how we do that. Because, again, you know, it's a pretty daunting problem. I get it with 105, I guess, basic areas to think about. But, you know, if the borough wants to change the procedures, I mean, it's well within their purview to do it. Because, like you said, you weren't there for some of it. So perhaps if there's a thing or two that the borough could do to make this more workable, that's something that they could consider to help with this, because, like I said, as we pointed out, the Mat-Su does, and if I get more good data, I'll certainly pass it along on how we do it. If there's a few things we can, you know, pass, it would be helpful. The other thing is, it sounds like what I hear a lot of resistance to, at least in the public testimony and the questions from last week, were, you know, basically the voters were not turning out for one reason or another, and you certainly want to try to get the will of the people. It seems like this might kind of usurp that a bit. Perhaps an answer, I don't know, just a thought, is it's going to, I hear all the stuff you're saying, and I acknowledge it's a big problem. Maybe a solution is if the desire of the borough is to consolidate, then maybe one time you do this, and that way you get the word out, align it with one election, train the extra people, and go through the pain of it, but then you've gotten the will of the people, and you could perhaps do it. I don't know. I'm just thinking of some ways that, you know, instead of doing it every time, I acknowledge how tough that would be and expensive, but maybe you do this one time and get it done. And suffer the pain and the cost of that one time. That way you haven't ignored the will of the people, and you can get the votes and maybe do what you need to do. I don't know, Mr. Chairman, just thinking of some things, but I will certainly – I don't know if those are questions so much for April, but some thoughts. And if we can pass something from the Mat-Su that would be helpful, I will certainly do that.
To distill that down to an actual question, Ms. Trickey, I can follow up with that is you talked about how hard it is to do individual service area elections. And Senator Schar brings up a good point. What if we just did one massive service area election, all of the service areas at once, one time, for, let's say, one October election, and then we were done with it for the next, say, let's say, decade? Would the borough consider that to be doable?
I would say that would be extremely hard to do, because as it currently is written, there has to be an election for each of those service areas. That means that I have to have a canvas board review and we would have to do this ourselves too, ballot accountability for 103 elections at one time. And so there is accountability that goes into an election for ballots. There's accountability to verify that those voters are registered to vote and live within that service area boundary. It would take, there's no way that I could do that ballot count within 7 days for 103 elections for road service areas. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I could hire enough workers to do that. And just the complexity of trying to do 103 elections, separate elections at a time. We currently do minister the City of Fairbanks and the City of North Pole elections during our municipal elections. My office does that. We do run two elections at a time at those 13 precincts that are City of Fairbanks, City of North Pole precincts. We do know how to run multiple elections at a time, but 103 is not attainable, in my opinion, as the clerk.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Trickey. All right, I'd like to then move on to Mr. Michael Bradley. We heard from you last week, but if you've got anything additional to add, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Chairman Meyer. I'm here to help answer technical questions. I believe Jim Williams might be on to speak for the administration.
Okay. Yes, he is. If you'd prefer to defer to him, we can do that. Mr. Williams? Jim Williams?
Oh, can you guys hear me?
Euler? Yeah, no, we got you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Myers. It went silent for a second there, and I was wondering if there was a problem. Thank you, Senator Myers, and the committee members for the Senate Transportation Committee. On behalf of Mayor Ward, I am happy to speak for him. He asked me to do that for him today. So a couple things to kind of cover real quick. Back to the crux of the problem. The crux of the problem is we have 103 service areas. As an example, MATSU has 16. We know those details. And, to Ms. Michaela's briefing to the committee last week, consolidation votes typically fail due to lack of voter turnout. I think Ms. Trickey explained that also. So Mayor Ward is really basically interested in a couple of things here. One is, and let me start on the first one here, a lot of the folks who are testifying today, especially opposed, they're absolutely right. We have not done a very good job at the borough explaining what the benefits of this proposed legislation is. That's something we can do better. But to that, what I want to relay is, surely it's going to reduce administrative overhead in the administration. So as the chief administrative person in the borough, I see every one of the contracts. I see every one of the work items that come out of the administration. So we have 103 service areas. We have over 120 contracts that we process every year. They all require invoices. They all require POs. They require inspections. There's a whole bunch of administrative, finance, engineering, all kinds of work involved in that. To the question about the elections, there was a question about what if we just had one giant election. And I think to that question, I think it would be possible. I know Ms. Trickey's probably wanting to not – she probably doesn't want to do that because it's really a lot of work. But I think it would be possible to have that many elections. It would be very, very difficult. But the end result would be that all of them would have to pass if the assumption was that we were going to combine all the service areas into one service area. Every single one of those elections would have to pass. If one of them failed, the whole initiative would be moot. Back to the second point that Mayor Ward wanted to make, yes, this is just another way to initiate the consolidation process. Right now we could have two commissions, two sets of commissioners that could agree that, there might be an interest between the two commissions. Each road service area definitely has their own sets of interests, ranging from fund balances, the mill rates, the services, service level quality, cost per mile. All those are definitely things that folks are interested in. But this pathway would say, hey, the two commissions agree that there's both sets of interests could be met, and at that point it goes into a public process. So the mayor or the RSAC could sponsor an ordinance that goes to the assembly, and it would go to and through a public process decided by elected officials. That's kind of what we're thinking. That's how that would actually go through. We could even probably create more public input as that process went along. But basically, it's a starting point as an alternative or another alternative starting point to start that process. So, Senator Myers, and to the commission committee, I'm standing by for questions if you have any. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Yep, we do have one question. Senator Schauer?
Thank you. Jim, Senator Schauer here. I have absolutely no dog in this fight at all because it's Fairbanks. Whatever you guys decide to do, that's up to you guys. We got our own, issues to contend with in the MATSU. But I'm just listening to the testimony across the board, and I got to acknowledge you guys have quite the problem there with all this separation. But I'm hearing a lot of pushback from those out in the, based on the public testimony today. I mean, it's certainly doable, but difficult and expensive. And especially if you did this all the time, I would see that could be an absolute nightmare. I can't disagree with that. But if you go to the process of where it goes to an ordinance, then again, the people in the road service areas don't have a chance to voice directly. I mean, all they'll get is a, you know, public testimony, and the body can do whatever it wants. So that's, you know, kind of how it works. So it seems like you would want to come up with some method. I mean, if it wasn't a written so that you had one special election, I guess, and had to be all or nothing, you could break it up, you could do some other things. It just seems like you would want to somehow get the legitimacy of the people having a chance to vote on this before you go down the path of just doing this via an ordinance and the elected body doing it. And I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking about it, Mr. Chairman, trying to think of a way that would help to get this done, because there's a lot of resistance clearly from the commissioners, you know, out in the road surface areas. And I would think you'd want to try to find a way. And again, I guess I'm not offering much help here, but it would seem like, Mr. Chair, there's a way to do something that would allow kind of a blended solution versus going all one way, because I acknowledge the problem. So again, I guess, Mr. Chairman, this is more of a comment than a question for Jim, listening to what he said, but I think you would, it sounds like you're going to run into significant resistance if you go down the ordinance path where the people really won't have a chance to vote on it based on what the commissioners are saying. So I'm just listening to that feedback. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Williams, you are welcome to respond if you like, but it's not required.
Oh, yes, Senator Shower, through the chair, sir, thank you for the comment, and it sounded sort of like a question, but I'll respond to that. So we did have a number of commissioners rightfully express their opposition this afternoon, but I would like to remind the committee that we have 418 seats, and about 262 of them are filled, so we haven't heard from everybody. I have heard from some commissioners that have talked to me personally and talked to the mayor that they're okay with this idea. And what I want to relay to the committee is that this is just one more option for the potential of consolidation. It might not work in every case because interests don't align, and we just exit off and we try a different way. But it's just another arrow in our quiver that could help us get there. 103 service areas, it's untenable. It's a lot of administrative overhead. I just want to relay that to folks.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, go ahead, Senator Sharp.
Just one more thought, Jim. I'll let it go. But maybe from the commissioners you're hearing, the ones that resist it, then exclude them. And those that want to consolidate, maybe pass the ordinance with those. I don't know. If you have some that really want to do that, I mean, there's got to be a way to solve this in a way that would accommodate, you know, the various areas, because you obviously have some that really like what's happening now. So I don't know. But I'm done commenting, Mr. Chair. You've got quite the problem in Fairbanks. I'll just back out. I'm going to go back to the Matsu now. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's safer that way.
That's just safer.
All right. With that, I think we'll move to Jimmy Cash.
Thank you, Senator Myers, and committee members. My name is Jimmy Cash. I'm a member of the Borough Assembly. I'm also the chair of the RSAC, the Road Service Area Committee. So I'm calling in support of this. The Assembly, as a representative of the Assembly passed a resolution in support of SB 105. I had a prepared statement of what I was going to say, but after listening to the testimony, I think the biggest issue that I'm hearing from the testimony is people view this as a way that the borough wants to have ability to just consolidate everything without any input from the people, and that's actually not really how it's written. The way it's written, it says that the road service area commissioners of each area have to agree, and then it takes out the step of having to have a road service area election, which makes it easier. As you've heard and was stated before, a lot of times these elections just simply fail because nobody shows up. It could be because the one side wanting to be annexed, they don't pay attention or they don't show up. I know that I've lived in a road service area for years, most of my adult life, and I've gone to two road service area commission meetings before I was on the assembly, and I had no clue what was going on in my road service area except for that my roads were plowed, and if they weren't plowed, I'd complain to somebody. But as far as the assembly goes, we see this as a benefit because it takes out the burdensome step, the administrative cost step of having to have an election but ends up failing because nobody shows up. And also what Jim Williams mentioned and is that some of the people testifying mentioned that we didn't do a very good job of explaining this to the commissioners of of putting it out there. It was something that we put on the legislative priority as the Assembly. Senator Myers was approached as somebody from the area. Senator Coghill last year supported a bill very similar, I think almost identical to this one. And both times, this time and last year, we did have a discussion about it in the Road Service Area Committee meeting with those commissioners. So just for those who may not know, the Road Service Area Committee, the Assembly's Road Service Area Committee, is a committee made up of 8 people, 2 Assembly members, 1 member of the public, and the other 5 are Road Service Area Commissioners that represent the different districts. And so in the discussion, the only complaints or concerns each time was that they didn't want consolidation to happen without at least the commissioners having a say. And the way the bill is written, that's what it gives. It gives a requirement that the Road Service Area Commissioners have to agree. There's cost savings to the Road Service Areas. One thing that isn't mentioned and hasn't been mentioned yet is in one way or another, some of these Road Service Areas are literally one dead-end road that's a quarter mile long. Others are miles long. And some of these smaller Road Service Areas, we had an annexation fail just last year. It was a single dead-end road that wanted to be annexed into another one that's pretty big, right, literally wraps all the way around it. And it failed because the larger area, nobody voted, not a single person, which that doesn't necessarily mean that they weren't in favor of it. They just either didn't know about the election or just didn't care either way. This way we could get those, you know, if the smaller road service area wants to be annexed in, we can contact the Road Service Area Commissioners for the other area, and then if they can come to an agreement, then that can happen through ordinance, and it just takes out that burdensome step. So I personally, as Jimmy Cash, am in favor of this bill. The Borough Assembly has sponsored a resolution or has had a resolution that passed in favor of it. So that's all I have to say, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cash. Final name we have on the list is Jill Dolan, the borough attorney, if you have any comments.
Thank you, Senator Myers and the committee members. This is Jill Dolan, the borough attorney at the Fairbanks-Nester Borough. I am available to answer questions, and if I may just perhaps clarify one point that I think has been made. Typically, if we have authority to do actions without a vote under Title 29, the borough still implements its own process. And I think that is what would happen here. For instance, right now, when we look at annexation petitions, Mr. Bradley through the Rural Services Division does an analysis. He looks at the assessed value in the area, the number of road miles that are maintained, the cost of that maintenance, and then other relevant considerations. And he actually presents that analysis along with a recommendation on whether or not to annex. So I just thought it might be important for the committee to know that there is typically that process before even the service area commissions would meet and make a recommendation or an ordinance would be presented to the assembly. Other than that, I did not have any other information. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dolan. Not seeing any questions from the committee. We're going to go ahead and take a brief at ease.